Sup, freaks, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. Happy Thanksgiving. Or the day after Thanksgiving. Happy holidays. A lot to be thankful for this year. A lot of news this week. Matt and I covered it all. And more. We're going to win. I'm too optimistic, according to Matt, though. I'm very optimistic because there's companies like CoinKite out there providing incredible hardware that allows you to secure your Bitcoin, create private public key pairs offline in an air-gapped fashion. They got their Cold Card, the Mark IV. It's the best hardware wallet on the market. It's got two secure enclaves. It's NFC-enabled. Again, allows you to create these private public key pairs offline so that your private key never touches an internet-connected device. They've got their Sats card, which is a credit card form factor, which allows you to gift Bitcoin easily. If you're going to a wedding, you need to give a wedding gift, you want to give them Bitcoin, use the Sats card, NFC-enabled, tap it on the back of your phone, click the link, boom, address, deposit to Bitcoin, put the Sats card in your wedding card, hand it to the bride and groom, boom, they have Sats. Got the tap signer as well, a bunch of other things, this thing right behind me, the block clock. Beautiful, incredible hardware. Go to coinkite.com, check out all of this, try to use the code RHR, we'll see. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Unchained, the right down the hall from me here in the Bitcoin Commons in Austin, Texas. They make me optimistic as well because they're really pushing the industry into a good spot, leveraging Bitcoin's native multi-sig properties, leading the charge, a multi-institution, multi-sig collaborative custody. They have their Vault product, which allows you to create a 2 or 3 multi-sig quorum. You can hold 2 keys. They just released it so you can hold 1 key or no keys in that quorum as well and leverage their multi-institution collaborative custody model. They have their lending desk, which allows you to put Bitcoin in a 2 or 3 multi-sig escrow account where you hold 1 key, so you have visibility into the escrow where your collateral sits, the escrow wallet, knowing that your Bitcoin is not being rehypothecated. You can sleep easy as long as you're paying that loan back, plus the interest. You're going to get your Bitcoin back at the end of the day. BlockFi, Celsius, Voyager all went down because they weren't doing this the right way. Unchained's been doing it the right way for many years. They just added a sell button, so you can now buy and sell Bitcoin very easily using Unchained. They have an IRA product. So if you want to transition your IRA into Bitcoin and hold your own keys without taking any tax hits, Unchained makes that very easy. Go to unchained.com/consultation. Tell them that Rabbit Hole Recap sent you. Unchained.com/consultation. Set up a call with their team to learn more about what they do, why they do it, and how they do it. Learn about all their products. It's a beautiful thing. Tell them to Rabbit Hole Recap sent you. Enjoy this rip. Good one. And stay frosty out there, freaks. Dicky.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Logan has no code. It's disgusting. How is this possible, Logan? A man needs to have a code.
My code is don't say things when random things are demanded out of me. Like a joke. What's my code?
That's a good code.
And what do you call a dinosaur with bad eyesight?
I don't know.
Do you think Thinkosaurus?
That was a good one. Do you think Thinkosaurus? Do you think he saw us?
That was a good one, Logan.
That was a good one.
I thought the answer was like fossils or something. I was on a completely different.
You thought it was a morbid joke?
This all started because Marty was trying to lure me back to Twitter, and I told him the man has to have a code.
You're missing out. I mean, you're obviously watching what's going on Twitter. You're just not participating.
Yeah, I'm not posting out of principle or engaging with any tweets or anything, but I'm scrolling. I do admit to scrolling still. I'm trying to cut it out. I mean, look, Twitter's fucking lit. I'd have such a good time up there. Like, I was trying to explain this to Preston the other day. He was like, but Matt, like, I don't want to quit Twitter. Like, I love, like, ratioing the suits and, like, the Bitcoin disrespecters and, like, the pro-CBDC people. It's like, yeah, you don't think, like, I miss that too? But
I had a good ratio this week.
I hope it was worth it to you.
It was. I ratioed Jason pretty hard in a quote retweet. It felt good.
He's back? Are we talking about Jason?
Who?
Jason Calacanis. Yeah, I actually added that tweet that he posted on. I posted on Nostra. I cross posted it there. I mean,
it was pretty bad.
It's also tiresome. There were a lot of Bitcoiners that were very similar takes as his. His was just in perfect form.
Here, pull this up, Logan. Just get the ratio for the freaks. Gloat.
I just think, I mean, there's an addiction there, Marty.
It's definitely an addiction. Let's click on Jason's suit. This is a good jumping off point. Getting right down to brass tacks here on RHR this week, Friday. Happy Thanksgiving, freaks. Hope you guys enjoyed
time with family and friends.
Thanksgiving Day. Yes. A lot has happened since we last met last Thursday. So 8 days ago, we had the SEC come out and levy securities charges against Kraken again. Binance had a big settlement with the government, which we're going to cover in depth. And that is what Jason is essentially tweeting about here. At the end of the day, CZ encouraged folks to break KYC and built his company around it while knowing it would enable terrorists to covertly and quickly fund their operations. Most crypto folks I've met accept that covert funding of terrorism is the price you pay for economic privacy, a belief that is incompatible with how Western societies have been architected. Most individuals are happy to have their transactions monitored if it makes the world modestly safer. It's not true, Jason. Benjamin Franklin, the founding father of this country, once said, if you give up civil liberties for security, you're going to end up with neither. Paraphrase there. I can't remember the exact phrase. I'm sure you may have it on top of your mind, Matt.
You said Benjamin Franklin, and then Logan scrolled down to CZ's face, and I was just like, that's not Benjamin Franklin.
Actually, Logan, if you go there, somebody responded with the Benjamin Franklin quote. Should be, there it is. Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And they'll get neither.
And there's actually Ben Franklin right there. You got the picture there.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I first of all, Jason can go fuck himself. The only thing worse than him are, you know, is like the people that treat him like heroes. Like, I don't understand it. I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. But you know, they have a quite successful RHR clone podcast. I forget. It's
more successful than ours. We're more niche.
Allegedly. We have the ride or dies. Anyway, on the Binance thing, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of blue checks out there that are claiming victory over calling the fall of Binance. Most of them were in the direction of calling Binance insolvent and a copycat of FTX. So I think it's important here at the tail end of a long bear market to remind people that those people were wrong. This case had nothing to do with solvency. The DOJ did not prosecute them on that. People are withdrawing from Binance heavily right now. It appears that they are still solvent. You should still not trust third-party custodians. They can rug you at will. If you are a Binance user for some reason still at this point and listen to this podcast, you should withdraw all your funds. But it is pretty ironic that Binance is essentially paying a $4 billion bribe for not surveilling their users hard enough. CZ's stepping down and withdrawals are still flowing smoothly. Yet the people that were claiming that Binance is basically FTX are cheering from the rooftop saying they were right. So just something to keep in mind there. Another thing to point out is this does seem like US regulators cleaning house and trying to exert their dominance and show people that they're in control before ETFs launch. So I think it makes the ETF launches way more likely. We saw them hit Binance. Kraken got something. We have more on the list. I don't want to like go through the list, but it feels like this is a expected crackdown before the ETF to try and bring most of the market under their control. And there's a bunch of suits that are cheering it on. And it's important to realize that Binance was not even a no KYC operation. I'm pretty sure the first time I've ever used the term shotgun KYC was about Binance and what they were doing to users, where they were holding funds hostage and KYCing them. But according to US regulators, it wasn't, you know, strong enough KYC, and they should be surveilling users even more.
Yeah, people taking selfies with their passports wasn't enough, apparently. What could be more KYC than a passport?
This is, freaks, this is what I mean when I say cruise missile risk. Like Binance got hit by the cruise missile, the long arm of US regulators. Go on.
No, I wrote the newsletter about this on Monday. I believe it was Monday or Tuesday. But it's a pure misdirection play. I mean, you alluded to it, but to be more explicit about it, I mean, the Department of Justice and the Treasury get to say they're being hard on crypto. CZ gets a personal $50 million fine. Binance gets a $4.3 billion fine that they'll probably be able to cover. CZ is able to evade, at least it seems at this point, like hard time into the long run. And yes, he's resigned his position as CEO, but I think it's naive to think that he won't be puppet mastering a bit in the background. So he gets sort of a clean break, pays the fine, cost of doing business. DOJ, Treasury get to say that they have a big win. They're being hard on crime. They get to use the narrative that quote unquote crypto funds terrorism. And they used Hamas specifically. And I believe some Iranian accounts that were funded by Binance, or Iranians were using Binance to take stable coins or something like that. So they get that. And the ETF gets the checkbox, which the SEC has been highlighting all year, which is like, hey, we're not really comfortable with all these offshore exchanges controlling a lot of the volume. We need to clean that up and make sure they're in line. So they get that checkbox too. And again, it's all to create this aura of this industry needs to be regulated. We're being tough. It's coming. But it's all projection, misdirection play. I mean, if these people really cared about money laundering, misallocation of funds for bad, nefarious purposes, we would have Epstein's list. The Pentagon just failed its sixth audit in a row, $3.8 trillion. I have this stat in the podcast, too. Just failed yet another audit and can't account for $3.8 trillion of military equipment. $3.8 trillion is currently 5.34 times larger than the market cap of Bitcoin. Like, if they really cared about money laundering, they would look internally. We don't know where all the money went to Ukraine, which is like almost half or a third of the Bitcoin market cap. And the Inflation Reduction Act, who knows where all that money that they're just going to print treasuries to fund is going to go. These people really don't care about money laundering and misallocation of capital. They care that they don't want the plebs doing it. And even with that being said, most people are just trying to save money, maybe do some degenerate shitcoin trading. And the amount of money within Bitcoin that's funding terrorism, if you will, is rather minuscule. The governments are funding more terrorism than Bitcoin ever would. And Bitcoin is an apolitical, amorphous, distributed network. It can't fund things. People fund things. They may use Bitcoin.
Even the mercenary surveillance companies that track Bitcoin say that terrorism funding is negligible.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you got to take, I think you got to take all of this as you got to take it all together about everything that's happening, and you got to put all the pieces together, and the trend becomes very clear, right? Which is this idea of capturing and controlling as much of this ecosystem as possible. While the suits ring, send out the engagement tweets of regulatory clarity, we get the ETFs and Bitcoin starts pumping. Everyone is really excited about the price going up. But meanwhile, in the background, it's frogs boiling in a pot. And as many of these centralized entities as possible that they can capture and control, they will. This is a trend that's been happening for years. This is a trend that is increasing in speed and pressure recently. I mean, this list is fucking full of it. We had, I mean, to me, like the two biggest targets on their back that we haven't seen anything really substantial happen yet is Tether and Justin Sun's empire, Tron, Poloniex. To me, that's where I'm watching, just watch the next domino fall. This week we had Tether had the largest seizure in Tether history. They froze $225 million worth of Tether in partnership with the U.S. government. They said it was voluntary, but you know, that's as voluntary as someone putting a gun to your head. And they said they froze it. And they said, if you weren't part of this crime and we accidentally froze your assets, you should reach out to us and, we'll get that all sorted out. So they freeze first, ask questions later. We saw Bittrex Global get hit. They closed down shop this week. Wallet of Satoshi pulled out of U.S. app stores.
That happened this morning, right?
That happened yesterday during Thanksgiving. And this is all on the back of Swan's partners that hold their money transmitter licenses, essentially telling them that they had to, that they were going to freeze customer accounts if they used any kind of privacy services. The Wallet of Satoshi situation is a little bit different.
Preemptive. So
let's just jump into that real quick. So Wallet of Satoshi yesterday pulled themselves from U.S. app stores. My thinking here is this was a voluntary decision on their part. My experience in this kind of similar situation is that they are a custodial wallet. Custodial wallets, as they get bigger, have a bigger target on their back to implement KYC and regulatory procedures. We've seen this historically. Custodians get large, BitMEX, Binance, the list goes on. Custodian gets large, it becomes the target, and they start to see very heavy regulatory liability. They probably spoke to a lawyer, and in a panic, the lawyer was like, oh, well, you got to pull from the U.S. app stores because you can't be serving U.S. customers. And why do I say it was a panic? Because they did it, and it took a while before they had public comms out saying that they were the ones who pulled it from the app stores. So I'm guessing it was a kind of panic situation. And the unfortunate reality here is that when you go down this path, nothing is enough for U.S. regulators. It is incredibly fucked up. We saw BitMEX do this. They blocked US IP addresses, but people could get around it with VPNs, right? This is the hole Wallet of Satoshi is going to find themselves in. And they're going to keep panicking, and they're going to try and do more and more to appease US regulators. We are not serving American customers. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. And what does that look like? That looks like starting to track users. They have tons of information on users, right? They have on-chain addresses. They have your full transaction history. They have your IP address. If you sign in with an email, they have your email addresses. Even if, obviously, if you use a VPN, they don't have your IP address. But if you don't have it on one time, or you get a deposit from a Swan, from the Swan wallet that only serves US customers, they might close your account or they might share that information. Then you end up in a situation where the panic finally fully sets in and you have a shotgun KYC situation where you stop withdrawals unless someone does their KYC procedure. And that's incredibly user hostile. So first of all, this is not me trying to shit on the guys that have their neck on the line and Wallet of Satoshi and running a custodial wallet with no KYC. This is US regulators in the background with guns, right? And this is always the case, right? And you have to separate, the people running these services sometimes from the people, the pressures behind the scenes. But that being said, they only have one real path. And if they're listening to this right now, they only have one real path. And that path is to unwind your custodian before you panic and shotgun KYC everyone. And we saw, you know, unfortunately, I've seen the background of these conversations. Like I was there with BottlePay when they unwound their no KYC custodian before pivoting to a fully KYC'd business. And that's the only user responsible way to do it. You have to reduce the amount of Bitcoin you have in custody. You have to reduce the amount of users. It seems ridiculous from like a business point of view, but otherwise you're going to have your back up against the wall and you're just going to do more and more user hostile shit. And if you're a Wallet of Satoshi user, you know, you should transfer to self-custody. And there's many good options. Obviously they have trade-offs and they're not custodial. So the UX might be worse and your fee pressure might be worse. But like you should take this as a hint. Like they can't say everything. They can't publicly talk about this shit. And like if we lived in a perfect world, there'd be like competing custodians that were offering you privacy and offering you lower fees and a competitive market and reliability, and some were rugging and some weren't. But the world we live in currently today is the US regulators will go after anyone who's a custodial wallet. And force them to surveil users and track users and control users and seize funds and block users. Yeah.
And I must ask, do we live in a free country, freaks? It is pretty shocking that in the midst of this global phenomena that is Bitcoin, companies like Wallet of Satoshi spinning up to give people an on-ramp, whether or not it is the on-ramp we would recommend. Likely not. It's custodial, but numbers are numbers. People do like Wallet of Satoshi. They do use it. It's probably the most used Lightning wallet on the market globally. And it says a lot that they have to prevent U.S. citizens from accessing their product because they're worried about the government. Because we're not free at the end of the day. It's big psyop. Land of the free. It's just a phrase. There's nothing actually backing it up. It's a great shame.
Like what the US government said to BitMEX was they said it's not enough to tell US users they can't use it and to block IP addresses. You have to do KYC on every other person to make sure that Americans aren't coming through the cracks. You have to surveil the world to make sure Americans aren't using it. Otherwise, you're not compliant and we're going to hit you with a cruise missile.
Yeah. And this is the government that's funding a lot of the wars in the world today.
You know, I think
a lot of like overt funding of terrorism too. It's been via intelligence, black box budgets that aren't audited? What about all the money laundering there, those black box budgets? Where's that going? Where's the paper trail there? Who's doing KYC on all the CIA agents? Remember Iran-Contra? We were running guns for Iran back in the day via Nicaragua. Pretty well documented that the U.S. government and the intelligence agencies were training Mexican drug cartels, the Zeta cartel specifically, equipping them, teaching them battlefield tactics, and then letting them flood the U.S. with drugs like fentanyl, which is the number one killer in the U.S. right now. Where's that money laundering charge? Where's the paper trail there? But no, you can't use Wallet of Satoshi to send sats wherever you want because you're deemed guilty until proven innocent, until you give up all your information, which will eventually be hacked and sold on the dark web. It's pretty fucked up. But like you said, Matt, a lot of people are cheering this on. Like, yeah, we got CZ. We can clear it up. Regulatory clarity. We should give up some privacy to make sure that terrorists aren't being funded. Doing my part. I'm doing nothing wrong. I have nothing to worry about. Here's my passport. Here's my phone number. Here's the middle name of my firstborn. We will prevail. Truly, clown world. It's all projection, too. It's hilarious to get up there. You have Merrick Garland and Janet Yellen saying, yeah, we got him. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him. Let this be a lesson, a warning to everybody else out there. You have to play by our rules. Get in line. Are you laughing at Yellow?
No, I was... There was a Marty rant going on. I was just enjoying it. So if you use Wallet of Satoshi, there's a lot of good self-custody wallets out there. Keep in mind, you're going to have to pay an on-chain fee because you're going to actually have your own channel. So the larger amount you send, the better in terms of fees. We really like Mutiny Wallet, mutinywallet.com. Zeus is awesome. Zeus lets you have a Lightning address receive, which is the only mobile self-custody wallet that has that feature. It comes with its own trade-offs. Some people think it's an attack on Lightning. Phoenix wallet, you can search in the App Store. You can send it to an on-chain. If you're done with Lightning, you could send it to an on-chain wallet. Just put in any Bitcoin address. But yeah, if you're using Wallet of Satoshi and you have any kind of significant funds there, I would just take this as a hint from the Wallet of Satoshi guys, because if their intention isn't to try and reduce the amount of users in the Bitcoin, it should be. So we should still take that hint. I mean, look, I think this is a fight for freedom that we've seen unfolding over the last few years. And if you've been listening to Rabbit Hole Recap, I think you should be more prepared than most people. But there's two things here, right? Is like, first of all, proper freedom tech, false projects, right? That have no leader and if the maintainer goes away, someone can take the project over and that project can outlive any individual person and doesn't have single points of failure and has sovereignty as a principle and self-custody. Like those tools are the bedrock of everything. And then the people that are building businesses on top of these things, particularly those located in America, basically only have one choice. Fight for the survival of your business, or regulators will make your business obsolete. And, you know, if a company like Swan doesn't let you use your money as freedom money, then that sucks for them if their hands are actually tied, but it makes that service obsolete. It is not a useful service. It stops being a useful service. So I think we're in a very unique time in this industry, because there's actually a Bitcoin industry. For the longest time, most of the large companies, most of the profitable businesses in the space were heavily in crypto and not proper Bitcoin companies, Bitcoin first companies. And now it's time to see. Now it's time to see, like, if the people running businesses in this industry are willing to fight for the survival of their businesses, because ultimately FOSS projects, Bitcoin is unaffected. This is something that affects people based on their jurisdiction, based on their legal exposure. And those people will feel the brunt of any kind of burdensome regulation and overreach by these governments.
Yeah. Tieran Yellow is asking, are we ever going to talk about the hypocrisy at any point from Bitcoiners and companies celebrating the bullish coming ETF when it's the product being set up behind the attacks to the very nature of Bitcoin? Peer-to-peer is once again going to be criminal and unsafe, and permit pending. Yeah. It's the weird push and pull of the ETF. It's a weird thing. It's a permissionless system. Somebody like BlackRock wants to buy Bitcoin and put it into an ETF, they can. And with that fact in mind and the sort I'm looking at, a specter of the ETF being approved imminently, it's hard not to let the mind wander to calculate how many Bitcoin are going to be bought, what's the demand like, what's that going to do to price. But no, that's why we do what we do here, and we've been trying. I mean, we've been talking about Binance for 5 years. Right when Binance launched, we were doing this podcast. It was probably like 6 months after they launched that we started this show. And at that time, they were filling the void that Bittrex created. And we thought that Binance was just going to be the whack-a-mole exchange that popped up after Binance got whacked down, or excuse me, Bittrex got whacked down. To fill the void in no KYC. And we said back then, and eventually that had to add KYC, it would likely that another one would pop up that people would flood to, but I guess that's where we were wrong. They added KYC and people stayed with them. They became the largest Bitcoin exchange in the world.
And yeah, they did like a middle ground approach, right? Where they complied just enough to survive to this point. But there's two interesting phenomenons that have happened. So like there was like a no KYC whack-a-mole, right? Polo, Bittrex, and then Binance came up and they were like the new no KYC shop. Obviously BitMEX had no KYC for a while. I think part of it too was that like in shitcoin land, like all these different quote unquote decentralized exchanges popped up, and those were like the no KYC, you know, separate, and then Binance was growing in demand. But if you look at this last 2 years, like I'm pretty sure the plan in place was they were going to do this to Binance regardless, right? They were trying to figure out how they were going to fuck Binance. And SBF and FTX were like helping them in that process. And like FTX was supposed to be like propped up alongside Coinbase as like the regulated ones. And then CZ realized he killed FTX by doing his FTT move. And he delayed the inevitable a little bit longer and got this settlement instead. But yeah, it's pretty crazy to watch unfold. I see in the comments, someone asked about Moon. So Moon in a high fee environment, like Moon is not a traditional Lightning wallet. All funds are held on chain. So every time you make a Lightning transaction, it requires an on-chain transaction. So in a high fee environment, Moon gets very expensive. So it doesn't make it a useless option. If you want to hold larger amounts for a mobile wallet and not make many Lightning payments, but still be able to receive or send via Lightning, it can be useful, but it's something to keep in mind. The high fee environment really breaks their model. a lot of the self-custody Lightning wallets make different trade-offs in terms of the high fee environment. Like if you use a Mutiny wallet or Zeus or a Blixt or a Phoenix, your Lightning, you essentially are using Lightning as it was meant to be used, as a batched Bitcoin payment protocol, where you can send many Lightning payments for one on-chain transaction. Phoenix has a trade-off that if you're receiving, most receives are an on-chain transaction to splice in. So self-custody Lightning has a lot of different UX hurdles from a protocol point of view, especially when thinking about fees. It's hard for people to comprehend and handle the fee burden. We've seen even some experienced Bitcoiners not really understanding how that works. And I think part of that is because we've been in this honeymoon period where Wallet of Satoshi has existed. So if there are no easy custodial options, like the self-custody tools need to improve, and they actually have pressure to improve. So we'll see how that unfolds, but that's what I'm watching.
Yeah. And we discussed this at the live RIP in Nashville a few weeks ago. Again, it's really becoming clear to me that this battle over KYC, AML particularly, is more philosophical than technical. At the end of the day, the technical aspects of Bitcoin make it so anybody can literally, without using the internet, take something like a cold card, spin up a private public key pair, take one of the public addresses from that XPub, put it out into the public and receive Bitcoin without any permission. There's nothing that the government can do to stop somebody from doing that. And if they have the tools and are able to use them to create these private public key pairs, they can accept Bitcoin. And then after they've received it, if they choose to send it out to the network, they can create a transaction offline and then broadcast it online at some point, eventually getting confirmed in a Bitcoin block. Like, that technical aspect is solved. This is philosophical. This really needs a push, like we've seen from Coin Center recently and others, to really get to the core of these problems, which are philosophical in nature, which is, like, should the government be able to just in mass collect all this data and prevent people from using particular services if they don't give up that data? I think we would argue, no, the government shouldn't be able to do that. It's incredibly predatory. It's incredibly prohibitive in terms of allowing people to express their freedom of choice to engage in an economic transaction with others. And obviously, if they are engaging in an economic transaction that leads to terrorist activity, yes, they should be charged for that and sent away, but you shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater and demonize the tools that were used. You should demonize the individuals and the actions and the intent, not the tools that they used to express that intent. And so I think that's maybe one thing we've been not doing wrong, but maybe we've been missing, is that this is much, and maybe we haven't been missing, and maybe it's something we haven't beating, but I don't think we've ever explicitly really defined and put the problem in a framework of a philosophical framework of, this needs to be a philosophical movement to remove these burdensome surveillance techniques from our everyday lives. People will, I mean, Tether is the perfect example this week. People are like, oh, many people have been saying you have this stable coin, it's external to the US dollar system. But at the end of the day, the government came to them and said, hey, freeze this $225 million or we're going to cruise missile you philosophically, or not philosophically, what's the word I'm looking for? Give me a second. Figuratively. Metaphorically. Cruise missile, yeah.
Look, I think it depends on your perspective, right? Because I obviously think that KYC and financial surveillance is straight up unconstitutional, and no government has Well, governments can do whatever the fuck they want to do, but people shouldn't let governments be able to track every their complete financial activity in their lives. Like, that's ridiculous. And in America, that's unconstitutional. But there's two paths, right? And this is something like I had this great conversation with Adam Back about this, right? Early cypherpunks and encryption and exporting encryption. And there's two paths, right? You fight it legally, you fight it through the court system. And you also fight it via tools that can't be censored. The perspective is that it's unconstitutional and that the U.S. government, if we're going to do from American centric view, because the U.S. government tends to export this stuff globally and is like the main perpetrator of all this nonsense. It's unconstitutional. It should be fought legally. But we should also assume that that whole system's fucking corrupt, and we should assume, well, we should take in the observation that exists today that 99% of new people coming into the space are coming in through these regulated, captured, and controlled entities. And there's, I think for years, and it's starting to change, there was this disconnect in Bitcoin privacy where it was like, if you were building Bitcoin privacy tools or Bitcoin freedom-oriented tools, you were operating under the assumption that the person wasn't using a KYC service. We have to operate under the assumption that every single transaction is bagged and tagged from a tools point of view. Otherwise, it becomes a major vulnerability for us, I think, on an independent level. And an interesting example here is the news that we broke last week on Rabbit Hole Recap, and has since the report has actually been released on F2Pool. Censoring transactions on the OFAC list. They have since, after community outrage, they have since pulled back on their decision. But because I guess miners were threatening to leave. But Wang Chun's original tweet, where he responded to it originally and then deleted his tweet, said, "Why do you feel surprised when I refuse to confirm transactions for those criminals, dictators, and terrorists? I have every right not to confirm any transaction from Vladimir Putin or Xi Jinping, don't I? Meanwhile, CZ is selling his soul for money he deserves. They can always mine themselves. Likewise, even with the EU sanctions in place, one can still fly from Lithuania to Belarus. Just take a big detour." So, I mean, I think this shit is heating up across the board, I guess.
Yeah,
is my point.
Yeah, it definitely is. And then getting back to the philosophical discussion, which is, yes, obviously we don't want nefarious individuals doing nefarious things, but you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater and prevent the 99% of people on the planet who just are trying to get by, live a good life, do the right thing, be productive members of society, and leverage tools that allow them to do that as efficiently as possible. Bitcoin being a monetary tool, the network being a monetary network. Can't completely cuck that because the bad people are doing bad things. We've said this many times throughout the years, the cops, the investigators, the regulators, and political agencies of the world just need to do a better job of policing external to these systems. And that's, again, going back to the newsletter right on Monday, that's like the really frustrating thing about all this is all projection and misdirection. Because if you look at it, the people causing most of the strife and the tumult in the world are these governments that are using the money printer and their ability to issue debt to fund a lot of these things. And if they're not funding it directly, they're funding wars that piss the people off, that lead them to go do terrorist acts in the first place. So the core of all this is the money printer and government's drunk with power. And they're trying to unilaterally punish everybody on the planet in the name of protecting them from the dangers that the government sets off at the end of the day. We'll see. I have hope. I have hope we'll begin to fight back against this. What are your thoughts on Argentina? Is that a glimmer of hope? PSYOP? Noise?
What are your thoughts on Argentina, Marty?
I don't know. I'm going to withhold judgment one way or the other until action is taken.
I think the most interesting takeaway is that a society needs to go through like four mandibles before a libertarian candidate has any shot at winning.
Right. His mandibles year in and year out, 145% annual inflation over the last 70 years. It's insane. I mean, hopeful. Not going to hold my breath. I mean, it did come out this morning and say the abolishment of the central bank is non-negotiable. So it seems like they're getting rid of the Argentine central bank. That'll be good. Obviously, there's people saying that he's a WEF cuck. He's funded by some dude in Argentina, some very rich guy that has some weird connections on the back end. Who knows? It'll be interesting to see. It would be cool to see them just completely abolish the central bank. But what's the fallback? They're going to dollarize there. Then you're dependent on our central bank. And if you extrapolate forward, the fate of every central bank is the same as the Argentine central bank, just on a different time scale. So does that really solve the problem? No, maybe it's viewed as a bridging solution to eventually getting to a Bitcoin standard. He's spoken favorably about Bitcoin in the past. Doesn't seem like it's a core part of his platform to start, at least. I don't know. We'll see. Definitely speaks the part very well. He's not trying to lead sheep. He's trying to embolden lions. It got me a little jacked up. Not going to lie. But as we said, can't depend on politicians.
Yeah, the politicians aren't going to save us. But we'll see what happens. On a positive note, I think this kind of went not unappreciated. Strike launched buy support for Bitcoin in 36 countries. So when they released their global app, like, a lot of people were confused. They were like, why can't I buy Bitcoin in this app? And it's because they're doing it piecemeal. They're getting the app into as many countries as possible. And then they're adding buy and sell support on a case-by-case basis as quickly as possible. So they added buy support for 36 countries where you can buy with card. They also added sell support for 12 countries where you can go out to mobile money or traditional bank accounts. And they have a BitRefill partnership where you can buy BitRefill gift cards in app as kind of like a quasi off ramp I think that's in their entire global region. Yeah.
Bullish to see.
Yeah. I mean, I it's pretty crazy that they launched buy support in 36 countries in a single blog post.
Shipping in the bear. Are we in the bear?
See what you're gonna have. You made us wait on that.
That was good. I mean, because, like, again, that's the I saw one comment like, this is like the third time Strike's gone global. But it's important. Like, they went global with the Lightning wallet. Now they buy sell support.
Yeah.
On top of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're the first. Besides like Binance, like how many places have that much country support? Like, that's pretty impressive.
Is Coinbase? No.
Yeah. Coinbase probably has a lot.
You think people are getting fed up? I'm still focused on like Wallet of Satoshi, Binance.
No, dude. You haven't seen anything yet.
What's it going to take?
Frogs are boiling. People are fucking, I don't know, man. It's, we're just way too early. Like, we're just going to have to witness everything. People are going to witness it for the first time. We're going to be, I don't know. People are fucking, I mean, there was Bitcoiners that didn't realize that a Lightning transaction required an on-chain fee. Like a week ago.
Yeah. And the fees, I don't know if you've seen it on the block clock, but over the last 2016 blocks, or like 1.2 Bitcoin, it's like 120 million sats per block. Mempool's full.
People are, Wallet of Satoshi, when Wallet of Satoshi removed themselves from the App Store yesterday, people's original reaction, a bunch of people, their first reaction was that the government was removing Wallet of Satoshi from the App Store. And they were like up in arms, ready to like, you know, we're going to, how could they remove them from the App Store? Like, that's not even, that's like the earliest fucking battle ever. It's a fucking App Store. Like, it's, first of all, that's not what happened, right? Like, Wallet of Satoshi manually did it. But like, if you're not even prepared for the realization that maybe your favorite Bitcoin wallet's not available on your permissioned App Store, then you're going to be in for a world of fucking hurt. Like, how long does it take for people to have that realization, to actually like figure this shit out? And it's going to take years. It's going to take years.
Unless we can overcome the parasitic governments in our life. I just want to give a shout out to Madex. Sent this piece for the studio.
Nice. Love that dude.
Vinita Tarda said Gravis. The Tree of Liberty is refreshed by the blood of tyrants. Physical art. Support your physical artists out there. Madex being one of the best in the space. At Spaceball on Twitter. I don't know. I feel like they're losing control, though. Like, did you see the quote-unquote terrorist attack? Is that still a terrorist attack at the Canadian border?
No, wasn't it a Tesla that
exploded? Tesla just blew up.
Yeah.
But they're running, like, that's the thing, like... What were the reports that they found an Iranian passport by the car? Like, Fox News was running with that. they tried to make it a terrorist attack. They're like, oh, we found the passport. It's a terrorist. And then they were like, no, it was like actually like a Tesla.
I mean, it was blew. A big
Yeah. Well, those Tesla's batteries, when they explode, they had a lot of,
I mean, did you see like
a lot of energy density?
Like, someone drove in at like, they were going fast and they like got air.
Yeah. But like, that's how desperate they are. They tried to run with that. They're like, oh, Tesla blows up at a border crossing. They were like, the two terrorists died. One border crossing agent was injured. And it was like, no, well, actually, it was just like a Tesla blew up. Like, they tried to jump on it right away to like throw it into the narrative machine.
Last weekend was like, Twitter was just completely preoccupied by whatever the fuck is going on over at OpenAI. Like, it was just like blue check haven. Like, they're all coming out of the woodwork. They're like, oh, Sam Altman is God among men. Like, you know, like absolute bullshit. Like, the 24-hour news cycle. My goal with you, Marty, is for you to realize that social media is worse than porn. And you're going to realize that at some point. It's going to take you a few years.
I don't know.
It's going to take you a few years. But but our society is completely captured. And if you think like this 24-hour news cycle for mainstream media was bad, like this influencer bullshit we have now is so much worse. And people are just, they're opening up their phones, they're with their family, they're going on their doom scroll, they're sending out their tweet for their engagement, and the whole fucking thing is fucked. And that is the hood of, hood in front of all of our eyes. Like that is the ultimate dopamine seductive like slavery tool.
The OpenAI stuff was like mind-bogglingly like crazy how yeah. quick all that escalated. Now they have Larry Summers on the board. Interesting. And it's all, I have a episode dropping with Alex Fetsky next week going over my time in the, or my piece in the Bitcoin Times Energy Edition, which drops about a month from now. But a big part of that conversation was a discussion about the spirit of Satoshi, or the language model that Alex and his team have been building. But a core part of that, like, so the whole OpenAI drama, the narrative with it is it's like an internal battle over AGI, artificial general intelligence, and when it's discovered, when it will be live. And it's, Alex has a really interesting perspective, and I think I pick it up, and I think this is all a massive psyop to like just scare everybody about AGI generally. And Alex's thesis is that AGI is a red herring. Like, we're never going to get artificial general intelligence. Like, if you actually understand how these models work, they're just making inferences and guessing. Like, they don't have intelligence. They're just using statistical probabilities to give an answer. And AGI is a red herring, and they're going to use it as this big boogeyman to bring in the regulatory moats, the licensing. And it's a red herring for speech control, because at the end of the day, they want to pretend like this AGI exists. And with this great power comes great responsibility, and to have the privilege to leverage that responsibility, you're going to need a license. And at the end of the day, it's really just 1984 on steroids, where they'll be able to use the AI and give it the context that they want to produce the answers that they want to make people believe a truth that isn't really real. AGI is a red herring for speech control. And so they're going to use it as this boogeyman, this existential threat to humanity and humans' existence on this planet, so that only a select few can interact with it and then use it to give you the answers that those at that level, the power structure, want in front of you, which I think is pretty compelling.
No, I mean, I think Sam has been using this the TLDR of AGI is like, okay, Terminator. The fear is like you have, or like Matrix, right? Like you have an AI that like takes over humanity and self-replicates and does all that shit. I think, you know, Sam Altman, Mr. WorldCoin eyeball scanner, has been using it as both a marketing play and a regulatory moat play to like, he's testified in front of Congress that we need stronger regulations that of course like OpenAI can comply with, but smaller competitors cannot. And I think that like part of that whole appearance was this idea. And he said multiple times, he's like, the way we have OpenAI set up is, you know, I'm not a voting shareholder, and the board can just remove me at will. And the board is like filled with all these philosophy ESG people, and they're going to keep me honest. But also, like, my product is the closest to AGI possible, but they're going to make sure that I like don't cross the line. And they probably got some shit. And now everyone knows that was, you know, all complete bullshit. Like a lot of us expected. Like as soon as they tried to kick him out, like Microsoft stepped in, they were going to like hire the entire OpenAI team. You know, everyone like up until this point, like the biggest joke was, oh, Microsoft got fleeced on this deal. They got 49% of a for-profit entity, have no controlling stake, and spent, you know, $10 billion on it. Like Microsoft got completely rugged. It's like, no, Microsoft was playing this whole game where they pretended they didn't have control, even though they had access to all the IP and model weights and complete control over the whole fucking organization, but they're a minority shareholder. They have no control. Even Sam doesn't have control. The board can just vote him out at any time. So I think that's what we witnessed. I will say that, at least me personally, my fear of AI, like my fear of the implications of AI aren't necessarily rooted in AGI. Like I think like this is a, can be a very powerful tool for freedom, but can be a very powerful tool. Like many powerful tools can be a very powerful tool for evil too. I mean, at the most basic, it's really good at searching through very large data sets and making that data useful. So in a world of mass surveillance, where we almost surveil too much so we can't track everything, like the ability to parse that data is much easier. Or and things like autonomous drones, like they don't require AGI. They just require some advanced programming logic. So like I think like people aren't really appreciating the potential ramifications of tech like this, even at an immature state. That said, like I'm not encouraging regulation or banning it. I think these ideas desire to be free and they will continue to be free regardless. So you're just setting the country back if you have a burdensome licensing agreement. But yeah, that's my, I guess my basic take on the whole OpenAI saga.
Yeah, it was pretty insane to watch unfold. That was one of the prouder moments. I agree. Social media is addicting. But if you're able to recognize that addiction, prevent yourself from interacting, which I did with OpenAI. It is funny to sit back and just watch everybody squabble over it. It's like, holy shit. People were like crying.
There's a blue check circle jerk.
I mean, the Silicon Valley VCs were clutching their pearls. I mean, who knows? I bet it significantly hurt the overall market cap of the company still. But there was a possibility there. I think it was all show. I think they got the outcome that they wanted.
The most fucked up part was it was during a week-long Thanksgiving vacation for the entire company. Those poor people just got completely rugged on their vacation.
Yeah. Like the potential for a $90 billion market cap company just go to zero overnight because the board was like, yeah, you're gone. It's also tiresome.
It was never going to happen. That's the point. It was all, yeah. It was all smoke and mirrors, right?
Yeah.
Like look how quick Microsoft moved. They even like made up a position for him at Microsoft, like head of AI research or whatever before markets opened. Because they didn't want their stock to dump.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is why Nostr's going to win the AI race, because the ESG board can't stop Pablo from shipping.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole fight between EACC, I don't even know what that stands for. Do you know what it stands for? Like,
they're accelerationists, right?
Yeah, accelerationists. I don't know what the E stands for, though. Explicit maybe. Accelerationists. I don't know. No. And the effective altruist. Apparently, they still have their...
Are they effective accelerationists?
Maybe. That's what it is. Effective accelerationist. Versus effective altruism, which is just communism. At the end of the day.
Anyway, it's all a clown show.
All a clown show. We've gotten through a lot of the list. I've got some other things we can talk about.
Well, we're about to hit software updates. You want to read boosts?
Yeah. Let me pull it up.
It seems like Elon thinks the risk is real.
Yeah, he's one of the, like, that's Elon and Donald Trump are the maturing candidates. Trump of the actual political world and Elon of the private world. Elon has the same intent as Sam Altman at the end of the day, I think. Which is, I need to be the guy that controls this powerful technology. I don't agree with how Sam's going to do it, but you should trust me. Somebody needs to do it. It's got to be me. It's like the power positioning that's happening right now.
That's what he said in the Joe Rogan episode.
I didn't watch it. Is that explicitly what he said? Or?
Yeah, I mean, he was like, he challenged his Marty. He was like, you don't want the demons running this shit. Like, I should run it.
Yeah. And somebody running around in a Bama Fett costume. Literal demon. Believe them when they tell you who they are, freaks.
Well, that's you're his product, so.
No, I'm not. At Gary Krause, top four boosts from Rabbit Hole Recap, 279. Momentum is building. Momentum is building. We're over 38K today. We'll get to Clark's dashboard, too. So we got to talk mining in Ordinals. Gary Krause, 150,000 sats. Hello, freaks. Are you a Bitcoiner that was slash is part of the war machine? Bitcoin Veterans is the group for you. We are a group of military veterans and devout Bitcoin advocates. We stand against tyranny in all forms, all its forms, using our combined expertise and passion to ensure the promise of liberty thrives. BitcoinVeterans.org to get on the mission. Go to BitcoinVeterans.org. Be peaceful, not harmless. Break. Shenandoah Bitcoin Club, December 16th, 10 a.m. Water Street Kitchen, Winchester, Virginia, on Flix TE and Meetup. I don't know what Flix TE is. Flox? Is that Flox? Flockster. Yeah. Flockster, yeah. He's got a comment. Flockster. It's on Flockster and Meetup. That's another good sign. If people are pushing back, I'm not sure if you saw it, but the military is sending letters out to veterans that were dishonorably discharged for not getting the vaccine, saying, hey, will you guys come back? And they're like, fuck you. No. These people overstepped their boundaries. People are waking up. It's just, as Javier Milei said, we got to light the fire in the lions. Get the lions out there. At Bobby Buckle, 130,000 sats. Stay humble. Spend sats. Bitcoin circular economy. We're hosting a Bitcoin jewel board, which is Norwegian for Christmas party, in Stavanger, Norway, on Friday, December 15th at 6 p.m. For more details, visit timechain.no. It's likely to be fully booked by the time you hear this, but if you're considering traveling from abroad, get in touch with us and we'll do our best to accommodate you. Bobby Buckle, one word, B-O-B-B-Y-B-U-C-K-L-E, on Noster and Twitter. Uh-oh. Somebody's not going to be happier. Come Rocket, 125,069.
Come Rocket.
Bitcoin Holiday Party, Saturday, December 16th, 2023, at Eve, 1535 Folsom Street, San Francisco, California, from 2 to 6 p.m. We are getting together for a family-friendly Bitcoin holiday party, so bring your friends, your family, yourself, and get in the holiday spirit with your other family, Bitcoiners. We will be celebrating together at Eve Nightclub, but during the day, so we have it all to ourselves. Tickets will be required, so get them on Eventbrite. Happy holidays. G's. Cheers. Cheers to you. And Come Rocket is letting us know that the OpenSats Lightning node is showing an error. So I want to take that up with management. His boost did not. OpenSats did not get 5% of that boost.
Why is someone going to be upset? Is that why?
You'll see user 6453088, fourth boost from last week. 125,000 sats. Sup, boys? Houston Freak here, trying to drown out Come Rocket with my boost so I don't have to hear you say his name every week.
Come Rocket.
You missed it.
Yeah. If you're trying to do this, you got to come in right before we record and just get a bunch of boosts.
Got to come in?
Yeah. Double entendre there. You like that one, Logan? Quick on the feet here. You sent this 6 days ago. Come Rocket saw it and sent it 2 days ago. So he saw that you were trying to drown him out and said, ha. Huh.
We appreciate you, Freaks. Thanks for supporting the show.
Well, it's not done yet.
Others need to do likewise. Also, unrelated, when is CrowdHealth going to resolve their SWAN/MTL issue for Texas? Love the CrowdHealth platform, but I haven't been able to stack one goddamn sat with them since joining a year ago. Please discuss. Much love. Keep up the good work. My understanding, and if you listen to the episode I released with Andy last week, they moved away from SWAN. They're going to do it all like Bitcoin circular economy, leveraging Breeze's SDK. So I'm not sure if they're going that. I'll ask Andy to get clarification on that. I think they're building an internal wallet in collaboration with Breeze. Breeze is helping them out. Using Breeze's SDK.
That's great.
Yeah.
Is there a shout out there from Bitcoin Bush Bash?
There is.
You want to read that? Because they're ride or die. And they didn't set a high enough market price, clearly. And thanks to all the continue to support the show every week.
That's smoking hot. 69,000 sats. Shout out to all the Aussie freaks who are traveling to the spring bush bash in Murundi. Travel safe and get ready for a monster few days talking about all the Bitcoins. Check out the agenda over at bitcoinbushbash.info or at bitcoinbushbash handle on bird or ostrich apps. Please plebs. Buy plebs for plebs. Heart emoji. Shout out to our Aussie freaks.
Our Aussie rider dies.
Aussie, Australia, Norway, I think are 1 and 2 in terms of international.
We gave you guys a free pass on that one, but going to have to bid higher next time.
Yeah. Yeah. Thankful for you, Matt. Texted you last night.
Likewise, sir. I truly do appreciate our friendship.
I do as well.
I thought when we were live in Nashville, Thunderbiscuit, his like final thoughts was super cute. He was like, oh, it was great just to be sitting here between two best friends arguing over it.
The eternal optimist to me. I think people are going to wake up. I'm not a
doomer, Marty. You just keep hitting me with this shit, so I always look like the doomer on that.
That's a good formula.
Stop being so optimistic about everything. Be realistic so I can be optimistic.
Yeah, realistic is things are heating up. They're going to continue to up. It's going to be very conflicting, too. I mean, this goes back to the whole conversation. ETF halving on the horizon, that's probably going to be the biggest, test in the next bull market is the price is going to be ripping to ungodly levels like we've never seen. And we're all going to be jacked up because the price number could go up. But at the same time, like all the regulatory pressure is going to heat up commensurately with that price pump. And it's how do you ensure that Bitcoin succeeds in a proper way while you're getting insanely rich? Because it's going to be very easy for a lot of people to see the price pump and be say, I'm fucking rich now. Don't care.
This is always the case.
Yes. It's going to be the biggest test of your life.
There's a McCormick I did, What Bitcoin Did I Did, like 2 years ago. And the topic was supposed to be Bitcoin privacy. And it was basically just me for an hour and a half saying like that was going to be the result, right? We were going to have quote unquote regulatory clarity, like things are going to be pumping. And at the same time, we're just going to be under heavy attack. And people called me such a Debbie Downer. It's like, it's not that I don't want that to be the case. Ideally, that wouldn't be the case. That would be, I hope I'm wrong. Like, you know, most of my predictions, I hope I'm wrong about, except 200K by conference day. And that was one of the few that I got wrong. So that one, I wish I was right about. It would have been nice.
Now we have $1 million Bitcoin in the matter of days.
Who made that call?
Samson, earlier this week.
You fucking joke, man.
Though it's a good prediction, though, because there's no like set date on it. It's just like, be prepared at some point in the future. We can go from low hundred thousands to a million within in the course of a couple of days.
I don't know why he's so bearish. Like, clearly the number is 2 million.
Where are the lions out there? Are you a lion listening to this? Or are you sheep? That's the other thing, the projection thing. They use fear. They do have guns. They do have the power of the government. But if you look behind the veil a little bit and look at what they're doing, they're definitely nervous right now. How could they not be?
I mean, the setup's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we were at 16K this time last year. We're like encroaching on 40, ETF's imminent, FTX doesn't exist, BlockFi doesn't exist, Barry's bankrupt, fire sale of CoinDesk, like Gemini owes $1 billion to users, Kraken's getting hit with the suit, Tether's doing their largest seizure, halving's on its way, US election next cycle, fucking crazy.
Yeah, and at the same time you have like the banking system systemically fragile right now.
We're in like chapter two of Mandibles.
Just look at these stats too. It's like hard not to see. Maybe that's why I'm optimistic, maybe too hopeful. But I do think the...
Fuck you, Marty.
Hey, I'm being honest here. I do think the... the like perfect storm of variables coming together. This is on us. Like, can we get the message out there? But this stat came out earlier today. This chart is insane.
It's not on us.
New mortgage monthly payments.
It is not on us.
The average mortgage payment hit $3,000, which is roughly 50% of average household income. Levels never seen before. Just look at that chart from 2020. Guess what happened in 2020, right? Where that last gray bar is. Printed $6 trillion, whatever the hell it was. $4 trillion, $6 trillion.
Who cares? Just a chart on inflation.
Yeah. But people don't have this money. Conditions are there. The government's got to be shaking their boots. They see this at home. People are under immense economic stress. They're beginning to say, what the hell? Binomics isn't working for me. Binomics, like, as much as we shit on that, it is an overtly idiotic meme in the economic policy of the Biden administration is piss poor, but that extends to every administration. Trump was at the helm when we printed all that money. He did the lockdowns before him. Obama, Bush, they all do this. Stop red team versus blue team. It's the money. Stupid. But on top of that, they got to be shaking in their boots. We haven't talked about this, and I don't think we talked about it last week because I think it dropped towards the end of last week, but like Saudi and China are buddying up closer than ever before. They opened up a $7 billion currency swap line over the next 2 years, which is a drop in the bucket. Nothing massive, but it is a step in the direction away from U.S. hegemony. On top of that, Saudi Arabia, they're Minister of Foreign Affairs came out with a big speech last week, said, hey, we want to de-escalate what's going on in Gaza. We're going to go on a tour to talk with global leaders to put forward the case of de-escalation and a ceasefire. First, we're stopping at China. We're going to go up and visit Xi first. They said that explicitly, which is maybe seen as benign, but that is very calculated in a signal that Saudi and China are becoming closer. On top of that, you have the situation where China and Saudi Arabia are dumping U.S. treasuries, and then China, via the Belt and Road Initiative, has started to, rumors are swirling, that they started to issue U.S. dollar loans. People, countries in Latin America and Africa have a lack of U.S. dollar liquidity that they need to pay off IMF loans and stuff like that and interact in the global economy. And China's like, all right, we'll give you U.S. dollar loans so that you can meet that demand and facilitate economic activity wherever you need to. However, on the back end of these loans, we want you to pay us back in yuan. And we've talked about this at length. That's probably going to be the story of the rest of this decade is you have like the BRICS plus countries try to create this competing fiat currency to the dollar. It's going to fail miserably, but they're going to spend a lot of time, effort, and narrative formation on it while Bitcoin sits here and builds momentum. And our job as Bitcoiners, maybe it's not our job, but the hope is that throughout all this, we get out on the other side this decade. Bitcoin's here. It's stronger than ever. And we don't fuck it up in the meantime, which the price is going to pump. And the pressure to fuck it up is not only going to be immense, it's going to be very easy to say, hey, I'm rich. It doesn't matter. I'll be able to go about my life. But you fuck up. Recognize that by making those easy cop-outs. You do sacrifice the robustness and distribution of the Bitcoin network in the long run, which when we get to that point in the long run will make Bitcoin essentially useless. It's a marshmallow test.
No privacy, no freedom, no freedom, no wealth.
It's true. Did you get on the software updates?
I want to shout out Toxic Sarah in our Noster live chat. She zapped 107,000 sats while we were live on the air. So thank you, Sarah. And to all those listening via X or YouTube or Twitch or Bitcoin TV, our Noster live chat is at rhr.tv/stream. It's fucking dope. That's where the ride or dies hang out.
Man, we have over 200,000 sats there today. Let's go.
Yeah, let's fucking go. And Marty, this was all covered in the Mandibles.
I know. We're doing a book club reading right now.
Marty's going to in 20 years, Marty's going to read the Mandibles and look back at the past 20 years. He's like, fuck, man. Like, Odell, you should have just told me to read this. It was spot on.
Well, I like that me and Lionel are just coming to these conclusions independently, you know? It means you're onto something. That is actually something to point out. Like, if somebody does have all these variables put in front of them, they can independently.
She wrote it in 2015.
Yeah. We're independently coming to the same conclusion, which is beautiful. It means we're onto something here. Software updates. LND version 0.17.2 beta has been released. Concurrency-related bug hotfix. Envoy version 1.4.0 beta has been released with intuitive coin control. I like the sound of that. Intuitive coin control. Something that is desperately needed. How are they doing it intuitively? Intuitive and easy to use coin control and new activity center. Private show. This is from the foundation devices. Envoy's there. Software allows you to interact with the device from your Bitcoin, from your mobile wallet. We need more intuitive coin control.
I think this is just them adding coin control for the first time, which is a big deal. Like everyone.
I mean, speaking of coin control, did you see that transaction that got confirmed yesterday? An 84 Bitcoin fee.
Is that you?
No. I have good coin control.
Someone fat fingered an 84 Bitcoin fee. Clearly, it wasn't market price. And I think it was the largest accidental fee or the largest fee in fiat terms in Bitcoin history. It was mined by Antpool.
I thought it was F2Pool.
I think it was Antpool. One of the things, by the way, to keep in mind with that F2Pool thing and we mentioned it last week, but there's two pools that do KYC, and it's not F2Pool. And together they control over 50% of the hash. So,
yeah, it was Ampool.
They do KYC with different governments, though. Yeah. I bet you Jihan's not going to offer to give back the money like Wang Chun did.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It's an interesting thing with these fat finger fees. I mean, F2Pool did this, what, last month when PayPal fat fingered a $500,000 transaction.
Yep.
And they went to F2Pool. We're like, hey.
It was Paxos that did it for PayPal, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Paxos on behalf of PayPal. And they went and said, hey, here's proof that we sent this transaction. We obviously paid way too much. You want to give us our Bitcoin back? They did. That's the interesting thing here, too, which is unique to Bitcoin. Yeah, maybe not unique, but the ability to, if you fat finger, you can see what pool mined it. And if you can prove that you were the one that sent the transaction, you can put forward a case like, hey, obviously, I sent a little bit too much on the fees here. Can you help a brother out? Be interesting to see if Ampool does that.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out.
This happened many times throughout Bitcoin's history. I think Ampool has given back Bitcoin.
No, yeah. I mean, it has happened a lot, so I wouldn't be surprised. But this is a lot of Bitcoin.
Yeah. Moving on, Blix wallet version 0.6.9.420. Nice. Lightning Box has been released.
Blix is great.
BBQer. Rodolfo is excited about this. Better Bitcoin QR proposal. QR animations are annoying. BBQer encodes larger files into a series of QR codes so they can cross air gap.
Yeah, so this is... There's like an existing Bitcoin QR code standard from Blockchain Commons. But this is supposed to be simpler and leaner. The output is more compressed. So it should result in easier UX. I know, like, personally, like, the QR code dream of air gap has been more like a theoretical dream to me than an actual use in practice. It's just a pain in the ass, especially like when you're setting up the multi-sig wallet and you're trying to export everything via QR code. It's just really big. I don't know if this fixes it or not. But my experience is like, as soon as a QR code starts getting animated, everything just goes to shit. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
It's out there. There's a Git setup. I believe it's completely false. Go check it out. If you're implementing these kind of things, your comments and your feedback are appreciated. And I think Marty said that this is CoinKite led. Because the upcoming cold card queue will have a integrated QR scanner and reader.
Yep. Go check it out. Peach Bitcoin app version 0.3.4 has been released with an updated reputation system.
Nice. This is how Larry finishes all his Bitcoin.
Peach does it the right way.
Yeah, he doesn't want people to know the size of his bags. So he buys no KYC on Peach.
10.10.1 version 1.6.1 has been released with a public beta launch. Big for the 10.10.1 team.
Do you know the asterisks on this launch? It's actually highly relevant for this episode. It's US. It's not available for US app stores.
Good on you, 10.10.1 team. Good on you.
The unfortunate reality is that will not be enough.
It'll be interesting too.
I'm not reading, like, I don't want, these services shouldn't require KYC. It's fucking ridiculous. But it's just a story that we've heard from the beginning of fucking time, which is they're going to say they don't need it. They don't need it. They're blocking U.S. customers, and it's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And then they either shut down or they KYC everybody.
It'll be interesting with 1010-1 and similar solutions because they leverage discrete log contracts, which they technically don't custody anything.
Why is, if that's the case, like, why is it not available in the U.S. on the app stores?
That's a good point. There's abundance of caution. Err on the side of caution.
Look, I mean, we're seeing what's happening with Tornado Cash and stuff. Like, I'm not, if there's a central person that can get squeezed, the central person tends to get squeezed. This is an observation, not a prescription. I'm not asking for it.
And a call for more Anon teams. We need just like Anon teams to arise from the ether and launch products.
100% agree.
Moving on, StartOS version 0.3.5.1 has been released with bug fixes.
Nice.
Great to see. Check out StartOS. Sparrow Wallet version 1.8.1 has been released with OXT fee rates estimator slider improvements or more.
I love Sparrow. Thanks, Craig.
I love OXT.me too. It's cool to see them collaborating.
Greg, I know you're not American, but on this Thanksgiving, I'm grateful for you. Thank you.
I am as well. Thank you, Craig. We've got one external to the list, too, which is the official demo release of TrueVote, which leverages open timestamps to validate ballot data, ensure it cannot be tampered with. Be very interesting. Brett Morrison, longtime freak, longtime friend of the show, launched his product leveraging open timestamps. He's got a Noster component to it too. Trying to use open timestamps to bring data integrity to elections. We saw in Guatemala the election there. There was actually some election fraud proven by Simple Proof, which is doing something similar, leveraging open timestamps.
This is a little bit different.
A little bit different, yes. TrueVote, cool. TrueVote allows you to vote directly from their mobile app. It's their goal. Simple Proof is simply just taking ballot data and using open timestamps to hash. Sort of like
prevent fraud later on.
Yes.
Yeah. It's way simpler in scope.
Yes.
TrueVote is more encompassing. It wants to accomplish more. One key fundamental that's really interesting to me about TrueVote is, so one of the issues that all these systems have from like, it's almost like a physical limitation, right? Is that if you can cryptographically verify your vote, like if you can prove I voted this way, right? Which is like the basis of a lot of these systems. You can easily sell your vote or get bribed to vote a certain way. If I can prove to Marty without any doubt that I voted a certain way, then he can pay me to change my vote to that. This is why we have secret ballots in a lot of places in the world, right? Where your employer can't tell how you voted. Your spouse can't tell how you voted. Your landlord can't tell how you voted. It's key to the integrity of the entire process, because if you can, once again, if you can prove that you voted a certain way, you might get coerced. You might sell your vote or get coerced and forced into it. And he handles, like TrueVote handles this in a relatively elegant way. They just give you a built-in way to fake your vote one way or the other. So if you want to prove your vote, you can prove your vote. But if like your boss or spouse or someone is trying to sell you or trying to buy your vote, you can show them the wrong vote and still vote the way you want to vote. And I think that's a clever, that's a clever trade-off balance.
Yeah. Shout out to Brett. He's been working on this for a while. It's great to see him get the demo out there. There's one interesting aspect too, where Like, if you get, like, your voter ID should come with, like, a unique token. Like, if you do, like, a mail-in ballot or something like that, it comes with, like, a unique string, unique token. They can then put into the app, and they can verify on the back end that, yes, this is unique and associated with you. Then you vote that way. You voted. Somebody gets access to this token. Yeah. It's a big problem that needs to be solved. What I do like is the implementation of open timestamps in these unique ways. It's been around for, I think, a decade now at this point. A little less than a decade. I think it launched in like 2015 with Peter Todd, but it's one of those unique solutions to just using Bitcoin, like anchoring a hash into it, very small amount of data.
Look, I appreciate Brett, like ride or die freak, but we're so far away. Like, yeah, if you want to get me started on election shit.
Sounds like you just did.
All of our electronic voting machines, they're all fucking closed source machines. We have these closed source machines. They're controlled by major corporations. And the major corporations are able to give unbounded amount of money to political candidates as bribes. It's completely fucking broken. We don't need a blockchain to improve this situation. We don't need open timestamps to improve the situation. They could help, and they have a part of the future in terms of a strong system. But at the very least, we should have open source voting machines. You should be able to inspect and verify the code. They should print out a piece of paper. It should say your fucking vote on it. And you should put it into another box that is used as the verification box. If the computer lies and the box with the paper receipts next to it is different, then you have a fucked up voting machine. It's a very simple solution that improves a lot of our current situation. And you will never see it implemented. You will never even hear this discussion. No one, election's going to come along. Whoever loses is going to claim all this fucking shit. And no one will once say that maybe we shouldn't have closed source voting machines that no one can verify what the fuck's going on there. Like, no one's going to fucking say it. So that's where we currently stand. And most of this is just, that's why I really like the simple proof model, because they're not trying to reinvent the wheel or solve everything. They're just, if the ballots change after they've been submitted, we can tell. You know, and they solve a very simple aspect of the problem, and they solve it well. And if we wanted real change in this country, that's what we would see, like relatively simple solutions that are added on top of each other. And I just don't expect that anytime soon.
Agreed. Open source the vending machine seems pretty simple, straightforward.
Paper receipt, Marty. Don't sleep on the paper receipt. You take the paper. It prints out the paper. It says you voted for Schmuck 1, and then you put it in the box, and then you have a box that is a verification of whatever is going on in the digital machine.
Schmuck 1, Schmuck 2.
Yeah.
Which one is for you? Maybe it's 3, 4, or 5.
I'm a big Schmuck 5 guy.
It's all built on lies. It's all built on lies. Tight rip.
Well, the last thing I put on the list was BitcoinBlackFriday.org. If you want to participate in consumerism, there's a bunch of good Bitcoin deals.
Unfortunately, the commons internet has decided that Bitcoin Black Friday is pornography.
Wow. Do you even live in a free co-working space? I mean,
the deals are so good, they're pornographic. This is...
Do you live in a free co-working space?
No. Apparently the people at Unchained were... streaming too much. BitcoinBlackFriday.org. The deals are so sexy that we can't show them at the commons.
There you go.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, that's all the marketing they need.
gets the people going.
It really does. Not going to read that one. Thankful for you, freaks. Thankful for you, Logan. Thank you for coming in on this Thanksgiving Friday. You can reciprocate on the mic if you want to. I know you want to.
Thank you, Marty, for giving me this opportunity to speak.
We got D&D this? Oh, no, you're not doing D&D.
So grateful.
Enjoy time with family.
I'm surprised you didn't call me out, Marty. Like, my favorite part of the title of this episode was that it's not Thanksgiving Day. But I thought it was funny regardless. So
you can pretend like it is.
Thanksgiving Day special on the day after.
It confused me. I didn't want to say anything because I didn't know if you're having a moment and I didn't want to draw attention to it. Matt's it having a senior.
It has a better ring to it than Thanksgiving special. Yeah.
We recorded this yesterday, freaks.
Yeah, exactly. This is the live stream is a sellout.
Yes.
This is great.
This is great. Got my mother, my sister, my brother in town. Should go hang out with them.
That's awesome. Enjoy your family. I appreciate you. I appreciate you, Logan. I appreciate you, freaks. Stay humble, stack sets.
Peace and love. Thank you.